This is Lewis Rogers. Welcome to The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Capital Square is a national real estate investment company with its headquarters right here in Richmond, Virginia. I'm Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square. The Real Estate Show emphasizes topics of interest to real estate, locally and nationally. Thanks to WRVA for over 30 episodes on tax-advantaged real estate investments. Take a look at Capital Square's website to replay past episodes of the radio show. While you're on the website, look at available real estate investments under open offerings and take a virtual tour of available properties. It's amazing. You can see the properties without leaving your home. Don't you love technology? You will see a large number of properties available for investment. Capital Square emphasizes diversification. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's a corny expression, I know. But the point is not to overly concentrate by investing in a single asset. Diversify to reduce risk. To aid diversification, Capital Square maintains a very large inventory of available real estate investments. First, Class A and B multifamily properties in Virginia through the Southeast, Texas, and Tennessee. Next, Class A, and they're called 4 and 5 star. Manufactured housing communities, all age-restricted, that means they're for retirees, in Florida. And then net leased medical and industrial properties across the nation. And let's not forget a real estate investment trust, or REIT, for stable income and growth. Finally, opportunity zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion. Capital Square sponsors 7 opportunity zone funds, or OZONES we call them, 5 in the Scotts Addition submarket right here in Richmond, Virginia, plus 1 each in Raleigh, Charleston, and more in the pipeline. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Natalie Mason, Senior Vice President of Development at Capital Square. Natalie is, to use our favorite quote, building the future of real estate in Richmond. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. You are Senior Vice President of Development at Capital Square. And prior to joining Capital Square, you had a very impressive background at Tishman Speyer in San Francisco, where you oversaw the financing, construction, delivery, and sale of more than 1,200 residential units, and I'm sure they were very expensive units, being San Francisco. You led a big team, and before that, you were with the D.C. Mayor's Office, is that correct?
That's correct.
Impressive background. I mean, it's just off the chart. Princeton University. Wow. MBA from Wharton, University of Penn. Amazing. That is impressive, Princeton and Wharton. And by the way, Capital Square's economic advisor, put in a plug for Dr. Peter Linneman, is a retired professor from Wharton, where he taught for 40 years. And I'm absolutely looking at his book, Real Estate, Finance, and Investments. It's about a $125 book. So if anyone wants to borrow it, it's right here on the desk.
I already own one.
Welcome. I'm looking at your resume, and I'm wondering what your parents said when you wanted to go into Slavic languages and Russian studies, but you ended up in real estate. How did that happen?
In high school, I had an incredible teacher, Mr. Joseph Knox, who taught a class in Russian culture and Russian language. It was a great class, introduced me to the topic. And then when I went to college, started taking more classes in language and literature, and just sort of fell in love with the subject matter. I studied abroad in Russia. I lived in Central Asia after college. So I got to live and work in different cities around the world. And I realized how much I love cities. I love the built environment, love walking streets and learning the history of buildings and who's building what and where people living, how neighborhoods have evolved. So when I eventually came back to the U.S., I accepted a position working in the Economic Development Office under Mayor Adrian Fenty in Washington, D.C. Economic development and real estate development really go hand in hand. And while I was working in the economic development team, I realized that I really wanted to be on the principal side of real estate development, and I wanted to build large-scale urban mixed-use projects.
So when you're building the future of Richmond, it's with a view towards the things that you've seen in Asia, Europe, abroad, D.C. That's pretty far away. D.C. is very foreign to us.
Yeah, I think, you know, the beauty of travel is that it's exciting. You meet new people, you learn different cultures. But at the end of the day, most people have the same wants and needs. People want comfortable, safe homes. People want convenient access to job opportunities. People want to be able to access certain lifestyle amenities like parks, fresh air. So I think Richmond, even though Richmond is a small city, it's growing quickly and is experiencing some of the same issues and concerns that you see in cities all over the world.
Very interesting. Well, let's shift gears for a minute and talk about development. And what is your focus at Capital Square?
My focus is working closely with our Chief Development Officer, Adam Stiefel, and our ever-growing development team to manage our active development projects and to help grow our pipeline.
You call it building the future of Richmond. What does that mean?
Well, Capital Square is known for our vast portfolio of existing properties, which includes thousands of units across the country. And in the Richmond area alone, we own over 2,500 units, and we've completed more than $800 million in transaction volume. But our team's mandate is to build. And, you know, even though Richmond is our headquarter location, it's also a city that we've identified as a great place to focus on ground-up development opportunities. We have 550 residential units under construction, with another 350 in the pipeline. The 550 units we have under construction represents about $150 million in value. And these are exciting projects, and we are already leasing up in some of them, and we just want to build more in Richmond.
It's very exciting. Tell us about Scott's Addition. How did this old industrial neighborhood become hip and cool?
Well, even though I haven't lived in Richmond for the past 20 years, of course, have been here several times a year through the years. And Scott's Addition has been, you know, something that has been on my radar just coming home and visiting friends and family members who say, let's go grab a drink or let's go get lunch in Scott's Addition. Of course, you know, my memory of Scott's Addition as a child is that it's very much a industrial location.
Yes. It's where you have your vacuum cleaner
repaired. It's where my parents would go get, you know, furniture
fixed. Transmission repaired.
Not anymore. But I think that's what makes Scott's Addition really interesting. A lot of the business and industrial history that's in that neighborhood make it feel cool, make it feel creative and vibrant. Everybody knows it's where people go for food, drink, entertainment.
So you're building new apartments called Scott's Collection, and you're capitalizing on this growth and energy, the nexus of food, drink, entertainment, 13 breweries, a meadery, whatever that is, and a cidery, whatever that is.
Yes, good question.
Is this Brooklyn or is this Richmond?
It's definitely Richmond. And if you haven't, those of you listening, if you haven't been to Scott's Addition, I highly recommend it.
Go park your car and spend a couple hours.
Buy groceries at Stella's, have lunch at Taza, get your coffee at Recluse.
Absolutely. And it ties into a theme. There's a major housing shortage right now. There are not enough apartments. There are not enough homes for everybody who wants to buy one. How is your development team at Capital Square helping to solve the housing crisis here in Richmond?
Despite the increase in new construction multifamily homes over the last 5 years in Richmond, demand is continuing to exceed supply, particularly in attractive neighborhoods like Scott's Addition. Rent growth was strong leading into the pandemic and then has just accelerated since then. And we're seeing, even with our own buildings that are opening, buildings lease up very quickly. So if you're someone looking to rent an apartment, there may be one building in Scott's Addition that has a lot of units available. But in general, you're, you know, competing with other people to find a home, to find a place to live in the neighborhood. So, you know, we're really proud of the fact that we're bringing over 500 units to this neighborhood and want to bring more to this neighborhood. I think something else that's different about what Capital Square is doing is that we'd like to think that we're bringing second-generation living to Scott's Addition. A lot of what has been built in recent years there has been sort of historic tax credit, historic rehab-style lofts or apartments. With the projects that we're building, we are really trying to bring more amenities, higher level of finishes, more highly serviced buildings to provide kind of a diversity of living offerings in this neighborhood.
Interesting. And it's called Scott's Collection?
It's called Scott's
Collection. It's a collection. What's in the collection?
It's a collection of three boutique apartment buildings. The first one is called Inc. The second one is called Viv, and the third is called Gem, as in a diamond.
Yes.
Gem. I didn't come up with the names, but they're fun names, and the buildings reflect these fun names. Inc. is the first building in the collection, and it delivered just a couple months ago. We already have residents living in the building.
How's the leasing going?
We're over 50% leased, with more people moving in every day.
And that's what, five stories, 80 units?
80 units across a five-story building. There's also retail in all three projects. The other thing that's special about Scott's Collection is that even though you get to live and have the look and feel of a boutique apartment building, you get to use the amenities in each of the buildings. All three buildings are located within a block of each other. One building has a pool, the other building has fitness, the third building has outdoor grills and more dining and lounge opportunities. So if you live in one building, you can use the amenities of the neighborhood.
Seems very efficient to share the amenities and not to duplicate.
It is.
So that's Inc., Viv, and Gem in lease up. And then there's a big one coming, right? A big one.
Yes, we have a big 350-unit project called the Otis, which is under construction at the corner of Roseneath Road and across the street from the delicious Stella's grocery store.
So you've got Stella's on the left.
Yes.
You have the Dairy Bar.
Dairy Bar across the street.
Across the street.
Vossen Brewery
Vossen
next
Brewery.
Door.
Handcraft.
The Handcraft building, which with
that's sort of
our
Main
own
and
architect.
Main. That's Main and Main of
Main
Scott's
and
edition.
Main.
That's the best. And we have the whole block?
We have the whole block, 350 units, six stories. There'll be quite a bit of retail space in this building. We're doing this project in a joint venture with Graystar, who is one of the largest property managers in the world and develops a lot of their own projects as well. We had a joint vision for this site to really bring kind of a new style of living to the neighborhood, and we're happy to be executing on it.
So to sort of wrap up, Scott's Collection, how's it going? Are you happy to be in Richmond, helping to create the future?
Very happy to be in Richmond. Very happy to be working on projects that are in neighborhoods that I grew up going to.
It is amazing. Love it when the kids come home. You're not kids anymore, but I'm old and you're not. Now let us segue into the Diamond Project. We're talking about the city of Richmond creating a phenomenal new space, a new ballpark, new green spaces, new housing, new retail, new everything. Just off the chart. There aren't even words to describe how wonderful this will be. And it's basically on Arthur Ashe Boulevard. How close is that to the Scott's Collection that you've been working on since you've been here?
So the Diamond District is about a half a mile from the projects that we have under construction in Scott's Addition. The Diamond District is 67 acres of city-owned land. It includes the Diamond itself, which is where the Flying Squirrels and the VCU baseball team have their games. I grew up going to that stadium. It's a very, very old stadium and needs to be replaced. The city of Richmond, and I think most everyone you would talk to, would love for the Flying Squirrels to stay. So the city has released a request for interest to developers to build these 67 acres, which would include a new home for the baseball team.
And what is your role in the Diamond District project?
I joined Capitol Square in the fall. Even before I joined Capitol Square, I already had my eye on the Diamond District opportunity. People knew it was coming. And when I was chatting with Adam Stiefel, our chief development officer, expressed interest in us pursuing this opportunity when it does come up, I was pleased to find out that Capitol Square was already looking at it, already interested in it. So we were ready to go when the request for interest came out, and we started assembling a team to respond. And so my role has been sort of taking the lead and helping assemble a team and starting to envision what we would want to build on the site.
So it was your sense that we should create a team to build out the Diamond District because it's so multifaceted that it requires different specialties?
It is. I think, 67 acres right in the middle of a very desirable part of a growing city is a huge opportunity and a huge responsibility. We at Capital Square bring a lot to the table, but we wanted to assemble a team that would really give the city comfort that we have the most talented people to actually execute on a project here. Just to name a couple of the team members we've brought to the table, Hoffman Associates is a DC-based developer. If anyone has been up to DC recently, it's hard to avoid the Wharf, which is the newly developed waterfront development that Hoffman and Associates did.
We've been there. We stayed there. It's superb.
There's cobblestone streets, cobblestone sidewalks, rebuilt marinas, beautiful apartments, beautiful office and retail. We're really thrilled to be working with Hoffman and Associates. They bring a lot of experience in actual master plan development. We've also partnered with Dante's Partners. This is another DC-based company, a prolific affordable housing developer in the district and the surrounding areas. They already are working in Virginia, so we're thrilled to bring them to Richmond, hopefully, to help deliver on a lot of the affordable housing goals for the Diamond District.
You'll bring that expertise from San Francisco to Richmond to help create some affordability for the housing.
Absolutely.
Great.
We've also brought to the team a company called the Velocity Companies, led by Brandon Bellamy. Brandon Bellamy also is the owner of the Gastonia Honey Hunters baseball team. So he brings to the table a lot of experience on stadium development and stadium operations. So we're excited to have him as part of the team. On the design front, we've brought in Baskerville, one of the oldest companies
it's
in Richmond and Virginia, 125-year-old architecture firm headquartered in Richmond, but with a footprint all over the country. And finally, we've brought in Pendulum, who is led by Jonathan O'Neill Cole, someone on the foremost of stadium design, stadium architecture in the country. So we're excited to work with all these groups to put forth the best possible proposal.
So you built a team of specialists to create the most phenomenal Diamond District imaginable.
We hope so.
Oh, that is great. What was it like to prepare an RFI? I'm used to an RFP. What is an RFI?
Yeah, there's been some interesting abbreviations that have come out of this, but an RFI is a request for interest. So this was to put together our initial vision for the site and to present our team. One of the best parts about putting together that response was to start getting out in the neighborhood and talking to residents and other stakeholders who know the Diamond District well. And, you know, we're so early in this process, and we have benefited from a lot of groundwork that the city has already done through the Richmond 300 planning process and the Greater Scotts Addition Small Area Plan process. The city has already done a lot of public engagement for what the Diamond District could become, but we also have taken our own initiative to start meeting with some of those groups, particularly neighborhood groups like the Fan District Association, the Museum District Association, Ginner Park Residents Association, Carver Area Civic Improvement League, and just having informal discussions about what are people's concerns about development on this site, what type of retail and businesses would people like to see here. So that's really the start of the master planning process, is to start talking to people and learning and listening.
What do people want? What do they say they like and don't like?
People would love to, you know, we've gotten some great quotes from these meetings. You know, one woman said that she would like to have a whole night out in one place. You know, she'd love to be able to go to a baseball game, then go to a restaurant with her family, then maybe to a bar, and then head back home. So just having a neighborhood that has multiple uses, easy access, easy parking. Other residents talk a lot about affordable housing. You know, they shared with us stories about their parents who are really having a hard time finding a good affordable apartment that's appropriate for a senior. So, you know, a lot of interest in what the type of residential that would be built on the site.
So instead of going in with a fixed vision, you're listening to the neighbors and trying to align our vision with the vision of a new neighborhood that fits in with the neighbors, people who actually live there.
That's exactly right.
That's refreshing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And do I understand that you're in Scotts Addition fairly regularly? Do you have a nice little... satellite office there?
I'm there so much that we've been forced to open a satellite office there. But yeah, we're in the neighborhood so much. We're doing a lot there, and we're thrilled to be opening Capitol Square satellite office at the base of one of our buildings.
Well, we'll have our next meeting there.
Yes.
Before we do our pub crawl.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. And in addition to the development, I'm on the fundraising side, you're on the development side. Capitol Square brings something special in terms of fundraising. And one of our visions is to have more involvement with regular folks, to have regular investors, not to be some New York City hedge fund owned project on somebody's spreadsheet, but to be owned by us local folks who actually live here. So that's something special we bring in addition to your office, which is there. I understand 15 groups took a swing at the bat, and we're now down to six?
And then there was six.
And then there were six.
Yes.
What's the timeline for the next couple of rounds?
We'll be responding to an additional request for information at the end of this month, and then I think the city is targeting a selection of a smaller group into the summer, with expectations of finding a development partner before the end of the year.
The timing's tight.
The timing is tight, particularly because there's a need for the Flying Squirrels to be in a new stadium as soon as possible, and for sure by the 2025 season. I know the city and all the groups looking at this opportunity are very much pushing for as quick a pre-development process as possible so that the stadium can get underway.
It's a fascinating process, and it's been a very interesting interview, and I'm thrilled that you've joined Capitol Square, come back to home, to be closer to your family. And unfortunately, our time is running short, so we're circling back to Capitol Square. One of our initiatives, Capitol Square Cares, is a charitable initiative, more to follow, but we aim to do more in the city of Richmond, so stay tuned for Capitol Square Cares. And a little Capitol Square wrap-up. How did we do in 2021, you ask? We had a heck of a good year in 2021. Capitol Square did over $1.4 billion of real estate acquisitions, 25 separate properties. And dispositions or sales, over $500 million in profitable sales of investment programs. The sale of a program proves the investment thesis. A property was acquired. It was financed. It was managed. And at the optimal, perfect time, it sold, with the proceeds returned to the investors. Sold multifamily investments generated an average of 2x equity multiple. You probably learned that in business school, equity multiple. That means for every dollar an investor put into one of these properties, they earned two. And the new properties being sold might earn three. They might be triples in baseball terminology. And most investors in DST 1031 programs that sold their property reinvested with Capitol Square in a new property. In this way, they're continuing the tax deferral. So it's a beautiful thing. Many investors plan to, we call it swap till you drop. I know we have lots of corny expressions. At which time the taxable gain that's been deferred under Section 1031 that we've talked about from earlier shows may be forgiven. That's when the heirs receive a step up in basis. You may recall all this from the earlier episodes, way back when, episodes 1, 2, and 3 on 1031. This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capitol Square. Thanks for joining The Real Estate Show. Join us next week at the same time to hear more about tax-advantaged real estate investing. Invest locally. Invest nationally. Invest with Capitol Square on a tax-advantaged basis.
The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capitol Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.